There's a very common sense reason gold is pushing to all-time highs right now. Actually, there are several reasons. The cost of goods continues to rise despite interest rate controls by the Fed. Since Jan 21, the cost of living is up 17.9%. The national debt continues to skyrocket, now above $34 trillion, causing many to worry when the House of Cards will come crashing down. A presidential election year that'll have massive implications on the future of this country. All of this adds up to instability and uncertainty, and that's why so many Americans are turning to Birch Gold Group. Have you diversified your savings yet? Secure a portion of them with gold from Birch Gold. Text STRANGE to 989898 and get your free info kit. You'll learn how to convert an existing IRA or 401k into a tax-sheltered IRA in gold, and it doesn't cost you a penny out of pocket. With an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau and tens of thousands of happy customers, you can count on Birch Gold, too. Just text STRANGE to 989898 to claim your free info kit and to protect your savings from uncertainty today. In a world where uncertainty reigns supreme, where shadows of chaos dance at every turn, one truth emerges unyielding. Preparation is not a luxury, but a lifeline. Behold the Wellness Company, a beacon of readiness amidst the tempestuous seas of fate. Envision a sanctuary of tranquility, where the tumult of unforeseen medical crises finds no purchase. The Wellness Company's medical emergency kit stands as a bastion of assurance, a fortress of resilience against the unseen foes of health. Within its sacred confines lie the tools of salvation. Ivermectin, to ward off the insidious whispers of disease. Emergency antibiotics, to quell the raging storms of infection. Antivirals, to vanquish the relentless tides of contagion, and more. The Wellness Company Medical Emergency Kit is not merely a collection of supplies, it is the embodiment of preparedness itself. Crafted by the hands of esteemed healers led by luminaries such as Dr. Peter McCullough, Dr. James Thorpe, Dr. Harvey Risch, and Dr. Drew Pinsky, this kit stands as the pinnacle of safety, the zenith of prevention. These truth-seeking doctors have forged a testament to vigilance, a testament to the unwavering pursuit of well-being. Embrace the certainty that comes from being armed against adversity. Embrace the Wellness Company, for in its embrace lies the promise of resilience, the promise of a brighter tomorrow amidst the chaos of today. Don't wait for the next crisis to strike. Visit twc.health/strangeplanet and use promo code STRANGEPLANET for an exclusive 10% discount. Prepare today and rest easy tomorrow.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Richard Serrett's Strange Planet. Following the truth wherever it leads. Exposing evil and corruption and the secret machinations of powerful elites. Revealing the high strangeness beneath the surface of our supposed reality. Coming to you from the Great White North and his studio beneath the stairs. Here's Richard.
Just about a month ago, a little bit more, the first human received Elon Musk's Neuralink brain implant. Again, this was end of January. The patient receiving the implant from Elon Musk's computer brain interface company, Neuralink. And the name of this first version, I guess, of the Neuralink is called Telepathy, which is a rather interesting name. It led my next guest to wonder, why would he call it Telepathy? Did he receive the idea for the Neuralink implant telepathically? And if so, from whom or from what? Ali Siadatan is the founder of Think Again Productions in Canada, a multimedia teaching ministry, shedding light on mysteries and treasures of scriptural knowledge, which is making the Bible more real than ever. And in 2006, Ali produced UFOs, Angels, and Gods, where it has received hundreds of thousands of views. In 1996, Ali completed a master's degree in French language and literature at the University of Toronto, and he opened a center to minister to urbanites through martial and healing arts, as well as spiritual studies for seekers. ThinkAgainProductions.com is the website. Ali, welcome back. How are you?
I'm very good. Thank you so much for having me, Richard. I really look forward to having this conversation with you. And if people want to check out our work, they can go to thinkagainproductions.com and scroll down the front page and be sure to follow me on Twitter. There's a great documentary right on the front page you can watch. It's for everyone to watch. And if you feel called to leave a donation, do that. thinkagainproductions.com.
All right. So this idea of someone like an Elon Musk, or let's say an inventor, and I've talked to a number of inventors over the years. They consistently, they'll say things like, it came to me in a dream, or first you invent something in the dream world and then you invent it in the real world. Nikola Tesla said the same thing. Many inventors have said this. So the idea that he would call, Elon Musk would call his neuro implant telepathy, again, the idea that he's receiving a telepathic message, where do you think he's receiving that message from? Or from whom?
Well, you know, there's a context to the way I see history and the age in which we live. And when Jesus was asked about to talk about the end of the age, and he then drew from this Jewish way of thinking, which was that the ages that are in the Bible are templates of future ages. They are in small versions of future ages that are going to be similar to the ages recorded in the histories of the Bible. And they're going to manifest on a larger scale. And that's why these ages were in the Bible. This is the story of the Passover and the Pharaoh and the gods that are behind him and the Lamb. This is about the first and second coming. There's going to be a final Pharaoh. There's going to be, you know, a battle of the of spiritual forces. These are all templates of future ages. The story of Abraham going to do the binding of Isaac and sacrifice him. This is really about Jesus, even though it's a historical, you know, event. So the story of Joseph, how he doesn't recognize, his brothers don't recognize him the first time they see him, but they do the second time. Like the Jewish people that, you know, will recognize the Lord more the second time on a larger scale. So Jesus says, well, the end of the age will be like the days of Noah. So suddenly he goes into kind of the traditions of the Torah and the Jewish thought, and he pulls that age of history out. And he says, it'll be like this. And the days of Noah were days of the sons of God and daughters of men, and everyone now has heard more or less the story of the Nephilim, which has become very kind of popular. It took some time for that to take off. There was a lot of resistance, but it really has, there's been a breakthrough. Now, when you look into the story of the Nephilim and even what it says in the book of Genesis, you'll see there's more to it than just the creation of hybrids. There's actually two other important points. One is the transmission of massive amounts of knowledge and information. There really was like an age of Atlantis, and that is recorded in the book of Enoch, which was a sacred book to the Jewish people, and even Jude quotes it in the New Testament, where we see that there are these seven bodies of knowledge that are handed down that are kind of akin to modern day science. And there is the third issue, which really is beyond the scope of our conversation, was the transmission of the scepter of rulership. Kings were chosen. So these were the kind of three main intrusions into the human world. The corruption of humanity through a powerful forms of knowledge, which together formed actually an occult religion. And this distracted from the plans of God and from the worship of God and from the design of God for the human creation, and also the creation of hybrid kings, which is another thing that is part of perhaps our future. So this transmission of knowledge continues in the world after the flood, the way that the stories of the giants continue after the flood. All of these, there's tons of religions where, you know, the guy that's on top giving you is a demigod. He's half human and half god, like Indra from the Vedic text, or like King Minos of the Crete. And these are things that people have relegated in the world of myth. But in light of the modern day abduction phenomenon and the reality, the continued presence of these beings, suddenly it's like, well, was it really myth? Because you look at the modern day abduction phenomenon, people are abducted, and there's communication. They're given messages like, you know, there's going to be environmental problems and we're going to help you with that. There is people like, what's his name, Stephen Greer, who's very much Dr. Greer, you know, an advocate for aliens. And he says they're going to give us technology that's going to help with desalination of water and create energy cheap for people and all kinds of stuff like that. So there's this idea of transmission of knowledge that continues throughout the ages. The codes of civilization were handed down, or the various religions, the how to build temples, which is the basis of mathematics. The math is super complex to build like a ziggurat. And these, you know, we have like, not only in writing do we have the story of, you know, a particular king, like the king of Lagash. You know, he has a dream, he goes to the seer of dreams, and they say to him, well, this particular god wants you to build a temple, and is showing you the template. And you can see his statue, which also came to the Royal Ontario Museum here, where there's a template right on, or Moses received templates from his god about how to build a temple in Jerusalem, or how to build the tent of meeting, and many other things are shown to him that he's supposed to create. It says their heavenly things were shown to him, and he was told to create human replicas. And so is the story of the Solomon receiving the, you know, from David, his father, from God, the architecture of the temple of Jerusalem, which is very different from the ziggurats. It's multi-level, but the levels are more like you go forward from one chamber to the other instead of up. So when you come to the modern age and you look at the UFO phenomenon, you see that there's, again, the question of a transmission of knowledge, like the days of Noah. And you see that really what we were told by people who've been looking into abductions deeply, that it kind of began at the end of the 19th century, in the late 1800s. At the same time, it seems that the Industrial Revolution started. And if you look at the Industrial Revolution, it's phenomenal how for thousands of years humans lived the same way. They're farmers, you know, they got ox, they got horse, and everybody's living the way you go to medieval England or you go to ancient Mesopotamia. There's a lot of similarities. And suddenly, you know, out of England comes this Industrial Revolution that propels this part of the world forward.
Steam power.
And then we have Henry Ford, a fan of Hitler, that creates the gas engine, which then, you know, reignites the Islamic movement because that's where the oil is. And then we move forward from there into the various stages of this Industrial Revolution that continue to alter our life at a speed that is, you know, historians, anthropologists, sociologists, they're astonished at, like, when they draw the curve of human knowledge, there's like the hockey puck, boom. It's like, what just happened to us? We like my grandmother, God bless her soul, she used to tell me, you know, I remember when we were traveling around in Iran in horses and chariots, next thing you know, I'm on an airplane.
My mother, who just recently passed away, remembers traveling to her grandparents for Christmas by horse and cutter.
Right.
And yet she lived long enough, you know, not only to see man on the moon but she lived long enough to see artificial intelligence. And that's when she said, I think I've lived too long.
Wow.
So let me just back up for a minute there. The transfer of all of this information and knowledge to humankind from the fallen angels.
Right.
Why would they, I mean, Satan hates mankind. He's jealous. He hates us. He wants to see our destruction. Why did the fallen angels give information and technology to man? And what kinds of information and technology are we talking about? Because not all knowledge is evil, obviously.
Yes, exactly. It's more about the perversion of God's creation for a different use. So as far as why, I can see four distinct uses for it. One, going back to the Nazis. So look at the Nazis. There was this Project Paperclip. There was a place, I forget the name. It was a secret. Eventually, you know, the Allies got to it, but there was a secret place the Nazis had where they're developing all this advanced technology. They had B-2 bombers. They had jets. They had, you know, rockets. I mean, they were not just ahead of the Allies by a little bit. They were like miles ahead. In fact, the technology that the Soviet and Americans took out of Germany became the basis of those two empires, you know, and the technology of airplanes, which is very interesting that it was a technology of airplanes. But
And the putting the man on the moon when Wernher von Braun
came over
as the head of NASA. Yeah,
exactly. And if you think about space in a secular light, you say, well, that's outer space. But in the biblical worldview, it's the heavens. And we're on the earth and the heavens. There's three heavens in the Bible. That's why it's plural. The first heaven is the sky where the birds fly. The second heaven is the universe where the stars, sun, and moon are. And the third heaven is the abode of God and angels, where the temple, the heart of time and space. So there's three heavens. And so that's why it's Shamayim, it's plural in Hebrew, and Uranus in Greek. And in English, we say heavens because the Bible recognizes three. So when we're sending stuff into outer space, we're technically sending it into the second heaven. These are the chambers of God's creation. And suddenly we really are able to travel. So this technology, I would say that the Nazis got, one of its main purposes was the destruction of the Jews. So that's, I would say, one of the purposes of this technology. The second purpose was to create the Third Reich. So it's about creating a new world in the image and thinking of these beings. That's what we saw in the days of Noah. They created kingdoms. You know, apparently there's three capitals. One of them was near Taiwan, the Mu. If you go Google around the coast of Taiwan, there's these giant pyramids under the sea that they say are like from pre-Diluvian periods. I mean, they're really nicely cut and everything. Of course, the most important of all the capitals before the flood was Atlantis, which apparently, you know, was ruled by Atlas in the Greek name that he's received. So the idea of creating a world that is not in the image of God's algorithms and thoughts and laws, but according to their own. So they're infusing their DNA into ours, creating hybrids, and then infusing that hybrid civilization with knowledge, the way that God, you know, put life on earth and gave that life knowledge. They are giving us knowledge to shape a civilization in their own image, the way that God created man in his own image to be his image bearer and have a destiny in the cosmos. They're creating their own image bearers and giving it the knowledge of a civilization that bears their image, their ideas. So that's the second thing, to create a civilization that competes with God's vision. Third is to control and dominate that civilization. It seems that control and domination is an important part of the thinking. They don't have the omnipresence and omniscience of God. They don't have the power of the Holy Spirit. I remember once listening to this man who grew up in a Satanist family where he was born into it. And eventually, you know, he walked into a church where people were, you know, in different places, and he felt the power of the Holy Spirit. And he said that's what freed him, because he said they used to go in circles in these covens and chant. And after a lot of rituals and chanting and sacrifice, they finally felt some power come among them. He said, but once he came and he saw that the power of God was everywhere in the room, and he immediately knew this was on a whole other scale and could fill the earth. So there is this idea that they can't connect with us the way God can, so they have to create technology to dominate us. And there's nothing more intrusive than, of course, putting something directly into your brain and being able to talk to it, right? Perhaps you will have dreams, you know, but what dreams may come in that sleep of, you know, telepathy. So there is this idea of control. And then the fourth purpose and final purpose is to prepare the human race for the war of angels. As the second coming comes, and now we're seeing the nature of the second coming, the Lord of hosts will not be necessarily in the magical format of the medieval church or in the highly spiritualized format of Greek Gnosticism, but it may be more the kinds of things we see in the book of Revelation or we see in the book of Zechariah, for instance, where God, you know, slays his enemies and their eyes, it says, they crumble from their sockets, their bodies melt. It seems to be more like God honors the laws of his sacred creation, you know, like, let's say, the nuclear bomb or the human DNA or laser or the sun. All of these things, they're not just small material world stuff. They're actually the works of genius, and God honors his creation. He calls it good in every phase of it in the book of Genesis, and blessed, and he utilizes it. So the war of angels is where we're headed. So they're preparing us, and I think that's what outer space is all about. Rockets are all about. They're preparing us to be able to put up a fight, because as unlikely as it may seem, It says in many, many passages in the Bible, Old and New Testament, that man is going to go to war against God. There's actually going to be a war of angels. It sounds crazy. How could we pull it off? And how, why would he do it? Well, the alien clothing and the technology of angels would put us at par, because remember, in this story, we are of the world of God and angels. So that's the fourth reason.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by La Quinta by Wyndham. Your work can take you all over the place, like Texas. You've never been, but it's going to be great because you're staying at La Quinta by Wyndham. Their free bright side breakfast will give you energy for the day ahead. And after, you can unwind using their free high-speed Wi-Fi. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book your stay today at LQ.com.
It's time to redefine reality. This is Richard Serrett's Strange Planet.
So how do we differentiate between technology or knowledge that comes from fallen angels or from, you know, the great deceiver versus knowledge and technology that is, well, perhaps divinely inspired, but also just it's not from the fallen angels. How do we figure it out?
I think there are two ways. One is the Lord said you'll know something by its fruits. So it's like, what are we going to do with this? Now, a knife is a neutral thing. It can cut and kill, but it can also make sculptings. So the fruits of it, what are we going to do with it? So it's mainly that's even more important than the technology itself. It's more who takes hold of it and what we do with it. Ultimately, the discerning tool we were given is biblical prophecy. And biblical prophecy is rooted in biblical history, meaning that it's the continuation of a story within a context of a literature. A pattern is set. So we have to first understand it in that context. We can't just create our own understanding of it. And then Jesus said that the Holy Spirit is what he would send when he would went to go to the Father and present himself to him. And that's what happened. That's what changed the world 2,000 years ago. That's why the Roman Empire was changed. The whole world was changed because the Spirit of God entered the world. And that Spirit, what he says in the book of the Gospel of John, that its main purpose is to give us discernment into Scripture. And so it's like a light in our consciousness. So we will know the truth because the Spirit of truth will be in us. And it'll give us discernment into the Scriptures. And so we will now know how to decipher and understand like a light. Your eyes only see things because they see the reflection of light. And so when we look at the words and teachings of these mysterious parables and prophecies, the Holy Spirit illuminates our consciousness. And we have to read it in the context of the Bible, but we also need the Holy Spirit. Without it, you don't get the discernment. You just create your own ideas. So God will go ahead of us and will show us that there are certain things he recorded in here that match the technologies that we're seeing or the governmental systems we're seeing, or the world order we're seeing. So we'll have to see how this thing is used. But one thing that kind of was red flagged to me, so first of all, what is telepathy? What is this technology that's created? So it's a brain implant. It goes directly into your brain. It's part of a company that is created called Neuralink out of California. It's a startup. It's already worth billions of dollars, apparently. And the purpose of Neuralink, the ultimate purpose of Neuralink, is to create brain implants that allow humans to directly plug into AI. That is the purpose of the company. And that's because Elon says that AI is moving forward so quickly that unless we can tap into it directly, we won't be able to keep up with it. So it gives you a brain upgrade. For instance, you want to learn French? Well, don't have to study anymore. It'll directly download it into your brain. Do you want to know it for a week because you're going to go on a holiday to Paris, or do you want to know it permanently? It's kind of like the movie The Matrix. You know, I know Kung Fu. So basically, it goes, taps into your brain, and your brain taps into AI. That's the ultimate purpose of Neuralink. And if you want to kind of see his ideas, you can watch a debate that he has in Singapore about AI with Jack Ma, the founder of Alibaba. You can see that online, and him and Alibaba have this conversation. And it's very interesting because there's one point where he says all of, I mean, I just told you, Elon says these things about, you know, humans need AI, need to implant and connect with AI to progress and upgrade their brain or they could run over. And then Jack Ma, who's supposedly the communist guy coming from China, he says, you know, I don't agree with you because man, AI will never surpass man. Man can make AI, but AI can never make man because man has passion, man has creativity, man has a soul. This is Jack Ma saying this. And here's the Elon, the guy from Silicon Valley. He sounds more like a robot compared to Jack Ma. So, it's, I mean, you know, of course, Elon's brain is on a whole different level than Jack Ma's, but it was interesting to see the contrast. Regardless, I don't want to deviate, but what is telepathy? So that's the purpose of Neuralink. But on the way to creating this ultimate goal, Elon is creating byproducts. So first he created implants that were put inside of pigs. And then he, on YouTube, he had live features where he showed that you could see all the health, monitor the health of the pig. You could see the joints of the pig, his heart rate, all kinds of things right live on the screen. Then he explained that once he puts the implant in, someone who's quadriplegic and you have no access to your limbs, this will turn your access on completely. Your brain will reconnect to all your limbs and you'll be able to walk again. You're blind.
Hard to argue against that, really, isn't it?
It is, right? And so this was kind of where it was going. Now, in order to take it to the next level, he needed to put it in a human being. And to put it in a human being, he needed to do an FDA application. And so his first creation, the first model, is if you are quadriplegic, this thing, this implant that's in the brain, and you can watch it because they put it in a woman and she has it and all the wires are connected, like it's like the primitive version. And so if you're a quadriplegic, you have a computer screen in front of you, you think, and this thing writes or does whatever you're thinking. You want to go to your Netflix, you think, the mouse goes and clicks on Netflix for you. You want to go to and type a letter to Richard Surrett. You sit here, you think, and it types it for you. So you can see on YouTube where they put in this woman and she does things with the screen. Oh, she talks. The woman, she can't talk actually. And then her AI talks for her as she thinks. So her thoughts go through the machine. So he put it and worked well. And so he got permission from the FDA now to take it to the next level and put it in humans and get an approval. And so it allows the thoughts of people who cannot move their limbs or speak to manifest through technology. And he says that if you have and the app, through it, you can virtually operate any technology just through your brain, through your thoughts. And because it goes with your thoughts, he said, he calls it, he said officially this, I listened to the official, you know, release of it. He said that this is Neuralink's first product and we're calling it telepathy. So this is actually the name of a product. Now, what caught my eye was the fact that the fallen angels or the sons of God in the modern age, in the abduction phenomenon, they're telepathic. They were telepathic in the ancient world as well. But in the modern world, they're speaking telepathically to people. That is the universal testimony of people who are abducted. Mm-hmm. And ideas are appearing directly in people's minds, and people's also thoughts are being extracted from people's minds. And anyone who's had this experience and is listening would know this. So, and I, you know, again, watch the documentary, UFOs, Angels, Gods. And so I thought, okay, this is interesting because I have now read that many places that CEOs of big companies sometimes have testimonies of these beings appearing in their bedrooms, beings of light, giving them ideas. I've seen things like, you know, Watson and Crick, you know, who came up with a double helix nature of DNA. Watson is like, on the way to work one day. We were struggling forever. We couldn't find it. But one day to work, it just the whole idea came to me. And so to your point that humans have a creative center and that they come up with ideas, that is part of the feature of the human consciousness. Now, the question is, we know that God can influence that and give us ideas. Can the dark side do that as well? Looking back in the days of Noah, looking at the knowledge that was transmitted to the civilizations throughout the ages, looking at the modern day abduction phenomenon, looking at the story of the Nazis, I would say for sure they are giving us ideas and laws. I mean, the code of Hammurabi, the sun god Shams gives this code. The Vedic texts, they come from these Indra and all these other gods. Krishna, you know, dictates the Bhagavad Gita, Allah, the Quran, Yahweh, the Bible. I mean, where did all of these things come from, right? Did God just visit all the nations, or did he choose one and speak through the prophets of Israel and then came as his son and sent his Holy Spirit to deliver people from the other gods? So where did this knowledge come from? So knowledge transmission is a very common part of human history. It's the basis of civilization. So yes, they also do transmit knowledge to us. And there is modern, you know, years ago, I remember watching a documentary. It's funny how the internet changed. You know, people like us, we've been on the internet since the days of Netscape, and we've seen like every stage of it, right? There was a time where it was empty. Like there was nothing on the internet, especially about these type of topics. And then suddenly you start to get it kind of started populated slowly. And so there was these moments where you could virtually read everything and see everything about a topic that existed on the internet. And I remember watching a documentary where this guy said, look, I'm dying right now. I mean, I watched the documentary myself. He said, I'm dying and I'm willing to tell the truth now, but I was told that my life would be in danger if I tell the truth. He said that I was visited by aliens and they gave me the idea of fiber optic cable. And it's like, wow. And he said, you know, I'm dying of cancer. I don't care anymore. But I was threatened, you know, that if I spoke this, I would be killed. So it's like, wow. So you get these glimpses into this thing. So why would someone like Elon perhaps receive an idea that may be laying the foundation of something far more sinister, since we have this prophecy of the Mark of the Beast in the back of our minds? Well, it's not necessarily that he's in cahoots with the devil or that he's necessarily, you know, swallowing ayahuasca or you know, connecting with some force. Sometimes I see it all the time around me, actually, that humans themselves are gates. And when we don't have the connection with God and our heart is not filled with the love of God, the Holy Spirit, these very important, very specific form of connection there is to God. God is a lofty being. You can't just come to him any way you want. You got to come the way he says so. And so like approaching a king, then our minds are open to other waves and spirits that wander around like viruses. And if they're going to target the influential people of the world, like in the book of Revelation, there is a prophecy that spirits like frogs go out and gather the kings of the earth to fight against the Lord. They deceive them. So they do target influencers. And Elon, you know, clearly has a natural genius and he is a talented and gifted engineer. But could then he become a target of ideas that are coming to them in the days, in the age of Noah, in the age of the apocalypse, in a world that is governed by these beings as well as by God? Like not that they're competing with God, but their influence is real as well.
I think he has, maybe I'm being naive. I mean, I like what Elon Musk has done with X. I like his stance on free speech. I like his stance on many things.
Right.
And so then we have this paradox where, you know, he's creating something that could lead to, you know, part of the Antichrist system. Maybe it's more like, you know, he's not seeing the big picture. He's genuinely wanting to help, you know, paraplegics be able to navigate through life by
exactly.
Their phone, being able to turn on their computer, being able to communicate. I think that comes from a good place. But if he is being influenced from these darker forces, they're seeing the big picture and they're saying, okay, we'll use this person who has good intentions. But he's really laying the groundwork, creating a technology, a a technological.
It's the closest thing that we've ever seen to the idea of a mark of the beast that directly goes in your head. Yeah.
Right. Right. Like, for example, the person who, you know, invented the cellular phone. No doubt, I know, had good intentions, but also obviously wanted to make some money, which is fine. Not necessarily envisaging that one day your smartphone would have TikTok and Instagram on it and people would scroll endlessly and become hypnotized and basically, you know, zombies. So,
sorry, what were you saying? Oh, right. I put my phone down. Exactly. Like when we look back at this whole, you know, if we're going towards this mark beast system of government, I think when we look back, we'll see the internet itself as laying the foundations for it, as being the beginnings of it. And then the digital revolution that characters as sinister as Carl Schwab tell us about the fourth stage of the industrial revolution, they call it digital revolution. And he says the digital revolution is the connection of biology and technology, right? And my question is, who's deciding that for all of us? Maybe I don't want that. Like, so someone is just announcing that I'm supposed to just go along with it. Like, wait, whoa. Can we have a vote on this? But that's what he's saying. It's a connection of biology and technology. And now who's making it real? Well, Elon Musk. And here's this very, you know, WF character, who's kind of like sinister James Bond, you know, guy, James Bond villain guy. I don't think he's quite aware of how much of those of that vibe he gives. I don't think he sees it, or maybe he doesn't care. And he says, look, this it's about the merging of biology and technology, the fourth stage of the industrial revolution, and then Elon is manifesting it. And remember that the main purpose of Neuralink is to connect us to AI. So this is just a theory, but since we're having conjectures, I always thought that since the enemy, the adversary, likes to create pseudo, it's all about the pseudo messiah, the pseudo religion, the pseudo kingdom, the pseudo, I'll give you immortality through DNA, manipulation, the pseudo, he doesn't invent anything new, he just copies the things of God. So there's the dragon, he gives his power to the beast. So then the dragon plays the role of the father, he gives his to the son, which becomes the Antichrist, literally the pseudo Messiah. So the Messiah is son of God. So he's going to be, you know, a son. And now I need the Holy Spirit. Well, I always thought that the Holy Spirit would be the mark of the beast, that it's the connection. So the Antichrist connects to AI and we connect to AI, to the same AI. And now we're all one big democratic happy family. You know, we're very, very, you know, it's like.
And all of a sudden now, Satan is omniscient through the AI. Right.
Exactly.
He wasn't before. Now he is.
The Holy Spirit is now, that's like the pseudo, you know, Holy Spirit. It's how he inhabits us. I mean, it gets very dark and occultish, but the Nazis were very much dark and occultish. They were like a religion. Like the Cathedral of Lights, and everybody was on drugs. And you look at the days of Noah, it was a very much a religion. You know, these guys were connecting to the sons of God and to their offsprings. And this knowledge that you read in the Book of Enoch, which sounds a lot like science, but actually it was a form of religion. We tend to see everything through the eyes of the Age of Enlightenment. Oh, we created these sciences. But these things were actually, you know, the solutions of sorcery, which is pharmakeia. The observers of the stars, signs, astronomy, motion of the moon. It wasn't just because they're like giving us this scientific information. It was because they had kind of like astronomy and all its symbols. They then weaved it together to form a religion that then occupied our minds. The way that some people saw, like the doctors of today are like the priests of the culture and they administer the pharmakeia. So it doesn't look religious, but it has like the snakes, you know, and it really has like the trappings of a religion and it competes with the things of God. So these are, at the end of it, the Antichrist's reign in the last 3.5 years will appear very cultish. It says in the Bible, that he'll call himself above all that is called God. So he competes with God. And I think that's where it gets really goes into hyperdrive, is he has a seven-year rule in the middle of it, in the 3.5 years. That's when he just says, you know, he removes all masks and he asks to be worshipped. It becomes a cult at that point. And so the religion is really at the heart of it, a dark spirit, occult spirituality is behind it. And the science, the knowledge, technology is the tools of that religion and of that spirituality. And that's why it manifests into the War of Angels through all of this. Even you look at like Copernicus or Galileo or Lord Bacon, all of these guys, modern science has its origins in magic and mysticism and in Masonic rites and mystery schools. We think of modern science not in this way, but it does. I mean, even Newton was a great Mason. So
it also came out of the monasteries,
right?
That were universities. So
yeah, right, the Perugia, yeah. The monks got divided. So one group was like, you know, God's creation. Let's study it, and we'll learn from it. And the other group was like, no, we shouldn't focus on God's creation. We focus on soul. And the portion that said let's focus on God's creation gave birth to the university. And the first one was Perugia. They had different little, you know, buildings for different things. And they said, hey, why don't we connect the buildings together and create a university, you know? And it's an ebb and flow, like you're saying, you know, someone might have good intentions and the good guys get in there and the bad guys get in there. So even human society, as far as I can see, and this is what I discovered when to lead up to the documentary that I released, is that there are four sources of knowledge. The first one is God. God actually speaks knowledge into the human world. The codes of civilization coming from God. The other is the fallen angels. They have spoken in tremendous bodies of knowledge in the human world. The third one is man himself. Man is a thinking creature. He has reason and he thinks. And the fourth one is a braiding of the first three together. So yes, we can create, you know, let's study God's creation, then we create universities, then humans say, well, forget about God, let's just focus on reason. Another guy says, you know what, I think we should forget about the spiritual and focus on the material. Then these guys come in now that they've emptied us of anything spiritual, and then they haunt us, you know, like the spirit that's been driven out and now can come back because the place is receptive to it again. So this is kind of part of the human patterns of history and society. And today we're entering in a world where it's becoming more and more filled with the material and less filled with the spiritual and with God. So it's really a great ground for these guys to come in. And we were told it will be like the days of Noah, but also it'll be like the days of the Pharaoh of Egypt. You know, that's what's ahead of us. And the battle of the gods and the Passover lamb, who apparently Jesus identified himself as the Passover lamb at the Seder, which was called the Last Supper. He lifted the third cup of wine, which was in the ritual of the Seder, designed to signify the blood of the Passover lamb. And he said, this is my blood. So he injected himself in the story of the Passover and made himself the Passover lamb. And even the Gospels begin with the words of John the Baptist saying, behold, the Lamb of God, referring to the Passover lamb, because John the Baptist was the son of priests on both sides of his family, his dad and his mom. So he was qualified to recognize the Passover lamb. That's how it worked. When the Passover, you brought your lamb to priests 4 days before. And they looked it over, and they said, yep, this is no blemish. This qualifies. You can sacrifice this. So it's like, as such a person, John identified it. So the days of Noah and the days of the Pharaoh and the days of Exodus and the days of the abomination of desolation, which is the days of Antiochus Epiphanes, the one who enters the temple and puts the idol of Zeus in the Holy of Holies, this was the days that led to Hanukkah. So the reestablishment of the light of God. And Jesus talked about this. He said, when you see the abomination of desolation, and everyone thought, wait a second, but that was about Antiochus Epiphanes. Daniel talked about it. It was fulfilled already, Jesus. And Jesus says, no, even this is a pattern of a future event. The story of Antiochus Epiphanes and of Hanukkah. So these ancient templates of history in the Bible all point to a time where there is a leader, there is a culture that is void of God, like in the days of Antiochus, not a culture that doesn't know God. The Jews knew he knew God, but they had forgotten about it. They had turned into the worship of the gods in the Hellenistic way. And it is endowed with the power and force of spiritual manifestation from lying signs and wonders. The New Testament says, like the gods of Egypt that matched the miracles of Moses to a certain degree before they could no longer keep up with them. And then the days of Noah, which is the days of great technology, hybrids, and kings. So these three, for instance, templates of ancient history tell us about our age. And so this is how we see and discern, for instance, the importance of certain technologies. We know there's going to be a final pharaoh. We know he has spiritual forces behind him. We know there are lying signs and wonders. And we know that there is this thing that's the mark that eventually the Antichrist, the leader, puts in everybody who accepts it. And it says it goes in your forehead or in your arm. And if you don't have it, you can't buy, sell, or do commerce. And as my daughter said, Dad, how are we going to pay our taxes? Well, you know, they might take us into these, if we're still here, you know, some people say it might be raptured by that time, but others might say we're here, they might take us to these re-education camps, you know, the ones that were built for COVID, maybe they'll build new ones and they'll take us into these camps. So we'll see where this technology goes. But as you said, it has the potential of fitting into this biblical story and being used for nefarious and controlling means rather than just healing means.
The truth will set you free. But first, it will really tick you off. Welcome back to Richard Serrett's Strange Planet.
Sometimes we can take a piece of technology that perhaps was inspired by the dark side, let's say, that was intended eventually to become part of the Antichrist system to be used against us. Sometimes we can flip that around, like the internet, for example. Think about all of the Christian communities that have, you know, come together because of the internet, whether it's Meta or Facebook, or whether it's, you know, hearing the message, hearing the good news because of YouTube or Rumble or whatever. So, I mean, it's not always black or white. It's not. Sometimes the technology is being used.
That's a good point. So in Christian theological language, that's called the sanctification of something, meaning you set aside something for God. So let's say you look at, for instance, the sword. In the book of Enoch, one of the technologies that was handed down by perhaps the leader or one of the most, you know, nefarious of these characters, Azazel, he says Azazel taught men to make swords, knives, shields, breastplates, which means military arts, the art of war. He taught humanity the art of war, and all of the instruments of farming that are used in warfare are for farming. Only the sword is the only weapon of ancient times that has no use in farming. From the beginning, it was made to take the life of man. And this book tells us it was actually the template was revealed by a fallen angel, but with it came the instructions, which was the military arts. And so God then uses the sword, and King David uses the sword, his mighty men use the sword. And then when the Messiah comes, he says, sell everything you've got, sell your garment, cloak, and buy swords. And they say, well, we've got two swords with us. And he says, that's enough. And later, Peter uses the sword to cut the ear of a temple guard off, and the Lord heals it. He does a miracle right there as they come to arrest them. And then he says, gives them an instruction, which is those who live by the sword will die by the sword. So we're not to live by the sword. We only use it for self-defense. But God then makes use of this. But then God prophesies through Isaiah that there will come a time where the swords and spears will be turned to plowshares and pruning hooks. So God, I think, speaks that prophecy directly to Azazel's perversion. He addresses that perversion, that prophecy. The military arts that you brought into my creation and the way you set up the nations against each other, instead of teaching them to be in harmony with each other, If you're my angel, you should teach them my commandments and laws. But since you taught them to be against each other and taught and empowered them like this, I'm going to heal that. And that's why I think, you know, in the story of the Feast of Shavuot or Pentecost, everyone speaks in different languages. Everyone hears them in their own language, because at the Tower of Babel, the languages were separated. No one could understand each other. And we see that as reversed on Pentecost. Everyone can understand each other suddenly again, even though people hear them in different languages, the beginning of the healing of the world. So it's a process. And when he comes back, he comes with an army from heaven. And it looks like, again, there's going to be a war. So God can use these things, because as you said, they are just things. They're just bodies of knowledge. They're even the armies of heaven. So God has an army. God has wars. It says in the book of in the Old Testament, the books of Moses, it talks about the book of the wars of God. We don't have it, but it mentions it. It says, according to the book of the wars of Yahweh, it's in the book of Numbers, I believe, the quotation. So you're right. It can be used and set aside for the purposes of God. It can be redeemed and sanctified. And that is a process of testing it with Scripture and understanding whether the Bible allows us to use, to do such things, to actually, you know, make use of such things. You know, for instance, in my biography, you read that I was a martial arts instructor for many years. I still am. And people always tell me, the Christian world, how does that work? Well, it's like, well, martial arts is not a religion. Martial arts is just a skill. And you can test it, remove what is not, you know, what is religious and Eastern, remove that, and then dedicate the skill to the work of the kingdom of God. So definitely, there's a process of sanctification, of sanctifying things for God's use. You're right.
ThinkAgainProductions.com. I know that you, from time to time, hold seminars and yes. What's coming up? Anything you should know about?
Yes. If you go to my Patreon account, which if you go just to that same homepage, ThinkAgainProductions.com, you can sign up for my Patreon account. And I'm going to be doing a lecture for my Patreon account holders. And there's also an audio series in the book of Revelation that you can think about, you can listen to there, and I'm adding to it. Sign up for the newsletter at the bottom. I don't send too many emails up, but when I have something, you know, to share important, I put it in that newsletter and send out so you'll be informed. It's the bottom of the page. Stay informed. So sign up for the Patreon, sign up for Stay Informed. And when you watch the documentary, it's free. It's on the homepage. But if you feel called and want to support us, you can give a one-time donation at the bottom of the page. Or support us for a few months. It's up to you how you want to do that. I am organizing another trip to Israel. The last one obviously was interrupted by the recent events that are still happening. And so, it's, you know, peace will return to that land. I don't know when, but they'll, you know, so if ever it's on your bucket list to go, we do that as well.
ThinkAgainProductions.com. Ali Siadatan, thank you so much. As always, God bless.
God bless you too. Thank you.
A new Richard Sarrett's Strange Planet drops every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday.